engagement that we have had were very fruitful in that we are able to receive the hearing. But just before we actually do all what we need to be doing today, to ask the legal advisors, to actually take us through the letter that I've received, which they have a copy of it, and to give us the advice on the letter. I will now recognize Advocate Jenkins and Rhoda at the first and next to Mr. Van Voor to actually talk to the matters in the letter that is in question. Thank you very much. You may proceed.
Thank you, Honourable Chair, Honourable Members and Guests. Mr. Van Voor, good morning. Chair, thank you for the opportunity. The letter dated 9th of October, we only received it yesterday, as you indicated, as well as legal services. First raises the point that the committee has not been appraised of and considered the individual charges against each of the accused members and why these charges have been brought in each case. Now, Chair, there was a bundle handed out by the initiator which deals with all the individual charges, and there was a decision taken by the committee to deal with the reading of the charges in a certain manner. So for me, the second question is more pertinent, why these charges have been brought in each case. And to answer that question, we must understand the proceedings happening before this committee or in this committee. The issue here is about the implementation of the rules of Parliament. That is the crux issue. The person who is responsible for implementing the rules of Parliament on the National Assembly side is the Speaker, on the NCOP side is the Chairperson of the NCOP. And the joint rules is both of them. So, Chair, when there was a complaint that the rules had not been obeyed, the Speaker referred it in accordance with a procedure to this committee. Now, this committee must not deal with this, and it's not expected that this committee deals with it in a political manner, but in a quasi-administrative manner. So what happened when we started initiating that process, and I'm saying we from the administration side, we look at what the law provides in terms of the rules. In other words, when there's an abuse of a rule or a breach of a rule, is there anything in law that can be done about it, and what must be done? And it is in that manner that the charges were drawn up, in an administrative manner, and not in a political consultative manner. It's based on objective grounds. It's based on what is there in the law. It's actually based on what the Constitution says in its preamble, that every citizen is equally protected by the law, and that the Constitution is finding a society based on law. So, Chairperson, is from that angle that the committee needs to understand that what is happening here is not that the committee can deliberate and choose what charges should be brought or not, but rather to hear what is said and then afterwards take a decision to say, well, the charges that has been drafted has not been proven, or they were proven, or they were not founded in law even. And in terms of the schedule to the rules, the members being charged by abuse, contempt of Parliament, can of course bring evidence to say, well, we did not act in a certain manner and we did not do what the law is saying we must not do, and therefore we're not guilty. And that's the process that plays out in front of the committee. The committee then makes a recommendation to the Houses. It's only a recommendation, and the House will decide how to implement or whether to implement that recommendation. So, Chair, that deals with why these charges have been brought in each case. Why these charges have been brought, in simple terms, we've looked at what is there, what happened, was there a breach of the rules, does that breach constitute contempt of Parliament, what does the law say about contempt of Parliament, let's get an initiator to formulate or to find evidence and to present this to the committee, and then the committee makes a recommendation based on that. Chair, the second issue, the Powers and Privileges Committee has not yet been appraised of and considered the full list of witnesses it intends to call before the committee chair. Again, I can say that the initiator has handed a file to each member during the beginning of the session, and I assume that within that there is indication of who will be called and what kind of evidence will be led. Again, I can say, Chair, that members being charged is entitled or are entitled to do the same. To say, well, we want to bring evidence before the committee that refutes what is now being led before the committee, and then the committee makes up its mind. So the last point raised in the letter is the issue of the submission by the EFF. Now the submission, we've been giving it many names, but it's headed Representation to the Powers and Privileges Committee. Chair, we as Legal Services provide an opinion on an urgent basis, and we can call it preliminary views about this submission representations that the EFF made to the committee on the opening day of the hearing. Chair, in that opinion we said what must be done with this is we cannot ignore it, we must take cognizance of it. But it doesn't fit into the issue of a defence. It doesn't answer the charges against the members. It's not evidence. Why we said that? The first reason, Chair, in terms of the procedure that's there that must be followed, it was not done in terms of the proper procedure. But if we can look at the substantive issue here, to say, well, let's forget about the procedural issues. Look at the substance. What do they say in this document? So sometimes it helps to start reading from the back. It says, whatever is the outcome of this process, the EFF will not be participating. So, Chair, we cannot take this and say, well, this is participation, when the document itself says it's not participation. When the EFF says we're not participating in this process. But be that as it may, Chair, the Powers and Privileges Act, or the Powers and Privileges and Immunities of Parliament and Provincial Legislatures Act of 2004 says that the process in the committee must be reasonable and procedurally fair. In my view, it would be reasonable to look at everything that is placed before this committee, including this document, and to look at what this document is saying and whether there is some substance in it. But I don't think, Chair, and let me say, I don't think from a legal point of view, it's not a personal view, when I look at the schedule, this document does not comply with the schedule in terms of raising preliminary or what's called in limine issues, which the committee must first resolve before proceeding. It is merely a submission to, in my view, explain why they decided, and I'm saying the economic freedom fighters, why they decided to withdraw from these proceedings and not participate. I think that is what is in this document. And the committee can look at it and respond to it. I think it's necessary to do that for the reasons I've highlighted above. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. And Gary, is there any addition that you want to make?
Not at this moment, Chair.
Honourable members, and then I think we have received that specific legal advice that we requested. Is there any point that anyone wants to raise in terms of the legal advice for them to clarify us moving forward? Honourable Matoko.
Honourable Chair, really, I wasn't aware that our legal advice was also the initiator of these charges. I wasn't aware. I thought you would give us an impartial advice, but yes, through himself said to us, we, meaning administration, he said that, we, meaning the administration, we initiated these charges. And he further said, we were based on the rules. Then he comes here and advises us. The issue of impartiality arises whether that advice will be a fair advice or advice to defend your own cocoon, your own area of operation, because it's you who developed the charges, and it's you who gives us an advice on how to handle this matter. I think the issue of impartiality, which he advised, he himself advised us on, comes again. It comes again. It says to us, you cannot be a player and a referee at the same time. You initiate it and you advise. You will only advise to suit yourself. This is not a legal advice. This is, he was answering to the letter which we supposed to discuss, maybe as a committee. He didn't advise us on to say this point, according to my legal opinion or legal advice, refers to 1, 2, 3. He was answering on behalf of the committee. That is why I'm saying he is now taking a position, and he has confirmed that they initiated this charge. Now he's advising us on them and is answering our letter. Thank you.
Should I take all of them before you respond? Legal advisors, should I just take all of them? And then you can respond. Can I take Honorable Lotree? I hope I'm pronouncing your surname properly. Yeah.
Thank you very much, Chair. Thank you to Advocate Jenkins for the legal advice. However, if we look at point 2 of the letter where we refer to the question of the witnesses, I have to say, and maybe I can be corrected, I do not find a list of witnesses within the bundle that I received. As far as my knowledge goes, we've only been informed that there will be Mr. Kasu, of whose the evidence was already led, and we also asked questions. But then I would like to refer to point 7 of the schedule, page 145, where it says the committee, initiator, and the member may call witnesses. Now, to my mind, as a committee, we have not at any point decided to call witnesses and which witnesses. We have not been given an opportunity to actually state whether we would like to call any witnesses. As I read this, it is not only the responsibility of the initiator to call for witnesses. Then regarding the first point in terms of the charges, I do understand how Advocate Jenkins explained that. However, Chair, I still have a problem. If you recall on Thursday when we had the witness, Mr. Kasu, here, we were in fact prevented to ask a question relating to why only 20 of the 25 EFF members were actually charged. So we still don't quite know how that process was arrived at. At that point when a question was asked relating to that, it was said that the witness must be protected. He doesn't have to answer that. And then in terms of point 3, and that is the submission, Chair, you will recall that at that point we did go into committee and we discussed the matter, and I specifically asked that we have a formal legal opinion, because what we had at that point is subject notes on the procedure of the committee. It was not a formal legal opinion. It was also pointed out to me during that meeting, and I requested that. I also referred to that matter again on Wednesday morning when we resumed, that we are concerned, I specifically was very concerned about the fact that we are not dealing with a submission to put it very clearly whether there's merit or no merit before we continue with the hearing. So, Chair, with all respect, I appreciate the advice given, but that does not take away the problems we have raised within this letter. Thank you.
Yeah, let's hear Honorable Fintain, but I'll still make sure that I advise members that when you go back to the legal start actually answering these questions. Let us try and listen attentively and see where they address the point or where they don't address the point. Honorable Filte.
Thank you, Chair. I'll go straight to the point. Can we, as members of this committee, call witnesses when we feel we need them? I hear the legal advice. I don't want to go that route. Just want to know, can we, and if so, at which stage? Because we're keen to call some witnesses to the hearing. Thank you.
Any other member? None. Can I go back to our legal advisor just to take us through the questions that have been raised, together with the any explanation that you think is relevant to address the questions that you've raised, and even the points that you may have skipped during your initial legal advice. Can you just take us through to ensure that we are clear, as you have heard that Honorable Lottery says your first submission that you have made just a few minutes back does not remove what is on this letter. So that comment almost says that you are starting afresh. And then can you continue?
No, thank you, Chair. Chair, the first statement is not a question by the Honourable Member. I have to go to Section 195 just to indicate to the committee, Section 195 of the Constitution. I'm taking this very seriously, Chairperson. It requires there that the public administration, which includes myself and my colleagues working here for Parliament, needs to provide impartial and fairly and equitable advice without bias. I'm improvising a bit at Section 1, subsection 1D of Section 195 of the Constitution. So, Chair, I take it seriously when somebody says or indicates or suspects that we are not providing impartial advice. So, Chair, excuse me for taking a bit of time on this point, but I need to make it clear that when we move from the Constitution, which in its preamble says it's laying the foundations for this type of society we are enjoying today, moving away from the apartheid system, moving away from arbitrary decisions, and moving to a state based on the rule of law where everybody is equally protected by the law. A constitution that creates parliament based on democratic principles, which we did not have before 1980. And when we take that democratic institution and we give it constitutional powers to determine and control its own internal arrangements and procedures and proceedings, of which we are busy with here today, it is expected of people working for parliament to be impartial. So what we did as an administration, and what our job in general is in any case, is to say, but there has objectively been a breach of the rules. Now, this question doesn't come from us. This question was referred to us. You say, there, here is an issue. The rules have been breached. What does the law say? And therefore, we come up with, this is what the law says. The law envisages a procedure to implement and to give effect to the rules. And these are the areas where the rules have been breached. And this area of breach constitutes a contempt of parliament. And that is what we do as administration. We put this down and before the committee. And the committee then makes recommendations based on that. And Chair, I don't want to say, with respect to our initiator, I don't want to put the initiator on the spot about his witness list or how many people he wants to call. That is his area, which he can speak to the committee about. And if the committee feels the wants to call more witnesses and so on, and my colleague will go into that. The committee can take a decision on that. But the charges itself is not a process of we'll give four charges or bring four charges against one member and less against another member simply because we like the car they drive or the political party they act for, anything like that. It's based on objectively what the law says. And if we have made a mistake with that, because nobody is perfect, then surely the committee or a member of the committee can raise it and say, well, here the charge does not speak to what the Act allows you to do, or here it's clearly you are biased. But, Chair, that's as much as I can say about that. But it is in the interest of Parliament, it's in the interest of the rules Chair, I can go on about this. There's a very interesting book that was written by Professor John Wegener at Stellenbosch, made us read it in political philosophy. It's called In Defense of Politics by Bernard Crick. It's a very old book. I'm not trying to advertise it, so I don't think there's copyright on the book. But it's about society moving away from punching each other to a society that speaks to each other. And that's what a parliament is there for, to speak to each other. But we cannot speak in South Africa, that is the rainbow nation of the world, if we do not have rules to allow everybody a fair share based on democratic principles. How are we going to speak to each other? And that is the matter that this committee is seized with, is to ensure that there are rules, and whether those rules are good or bad, to enforce them and to say this is how we will speak to each other in Parliament so that we can understand each other and move forward. So Chair, that's that part. My colleague Gary will deal with the issue of additional calling witnesses and what questions can be asked. I just want to deal with the issue of the formal legal opinion about the status of the submission made by Honourable Banema, but in the name of the Economic Freedom Fund. Chair, that's my understanding of the schedule and how one must engage with the schedule if you want to engage and basically answer the charges that have been levied against you. This letter doesn't fit within that, but a formal legal opinion we can provide either from our office. The committee prefers to have an opinion from an outside counsel, that can also be done. There are senior counsel at the Cape Bar who is apprised of what is happening here, and we can get an opinion from that, should the budget allow, or should the committee wish that. But it's a committee decision that will have to prevail there, Chair. I'd like to give my colleague Gary Roda an opportunity, Chair, with your permission.
Do so. Thank you, Chairperson. I've been requested to deal with two issues. The one dealing with, firstly, why only 20 members were referred to the committee. In page 73 of the rules, rule 194, it deals with how the committee should function. It says, well, sub-rule 1, the committee must consider any matter referred to it by the speaker relating to contempt. The committee has no power on its own initiative to institute charges against any member. So the committee must only deal or concern itself with those members that have been referred to it by the speaker. Cannot go any further. If the committee then looks at the sort of own initiative powers, in sub-rule 3 it says the committee may on its own initiative or upon request by the speaker. So that is the only own initiative power that the committee has. So in relation to the 20 members that have been referred, on why only 20 members, it's because the speaker has referred only 20 members to the committee, and that's what the committee should concern itself with. The second question then, Mr. Fultain and Ms. Lachington requested about the witnesses. I agree, the schedule is very clear that the committee can call witnesses. The committee, the initiator or the members who are charged or the concerned members. The way the method of work happens is that the initiator leads evidence. That does not mean or take away from the fact that the committee may also call witnesses. We have not reached that part yet because the initiator is that led his evidence now. So the committee is more than empowered to call witnesses. Whether those witnesses attend is a different story, but the committee is empowered in terms of the schedule to call those witnesses. And in terms of also then the drawing up of the charges, that was the initiator drew up the charges from in line with the Powers and Privileges Act, and also reading it together with the rules of the National Assembly, just to make that clear. Thank you.
We have some clarity. Anyone that's still unclear on the, especially with the content of the letter and the legal interpretations and the legal procedures that and the parliamentary procedures that were affected by this, anyone who still needs some further clarity. Members, we need to deal with this matter so that it doesn't crop again and actually make us to look different from what people expected us. to look up in terms of a hearing. Can we clear that? Is everybody happy with the legal advice? Because if you move out of this particular point now, we must go back to the hearing. Straight away go back to the hearing, or we must keep on flexing muscles until we are tired. And so that then we all have a clear understanding, same understanding, and then in relation to these matters as far as they affect us from continuing the hearing. Honorable Matu.
Honorable Chairperson, I'm not convinced that I'm not a legal person, but I'm not convinced in terms of people initiating charges and giving a legal opinion on the same matter. It is there on record. Advocate Jenkins was trying to evade it. He said they initiated the charges. Then he's giving this committee advices on his own work. So we need an independent legal advice on the matters we have raised, so that the playing field is leveled. It is not one-sided. It is not Bambi when we are dealing with actual issues. You cannot initiate, prepare as an administrator and come and advise. And you are employed by this parliament. The other issue is the issue of continuing. We cannot just continue without knowing who is the next witness. We must first agree as a committee that we must identify witnesses in relation to what the first witness responded to. There are questions, that there is a question which I asked. I said he referred to his, according to my own understanding. That is his own understanding. Then the person, or the people who might understand better than him, must be called as witnesses, and we must identify those witnesses before we go forward with the process. Mr. Mgangani is very, very excited. He's laughing when I'm talking.
Please, Honorable Matuku, just simply remain focused.
Yeah, but it's intimidating me. It's intimidating me. He can't laugh while I'm addressing serious issues. It means he doesn't take this committee very seriously.
But I just need to indicate that I think last week I did the same, and today I think I'll need to repeat it, that the honourable member sitting next to you, Honourable Matuku, need not participate because he's not a member. I don't want to go to an extent of saying he should move away from you, because then I'll be micromanaging him, but if he could just behave in a manner that it doesn't bring question to the proceedings that you have.
I don't think the chairperson is undermining my intelligence.
No.
Yes, by saying I'm getting advices here.
Honorable Matuku.
No, chairperson, I'm.
Order, Honorable Matuku.
Yes.
Order.
But for the second time, this issue was raised.
Honorable Matuku. I'm not saying that he's advising you. I'm saying he's participating. And therefore, I'm calling upon him not to participate because he's not a main member, not a direct member in this particular situation where we are. And that's the request I'm making. And I mean, the question of advising, it comes through SMS and everything. Nobody stops me. But all what I'm saying is that he should not participate, because I picked up that he participates in which way or whatever, in any manner that he's doing. If he can just desist from doing that, and then you may proceed on a rumor.
Yeah, but I want the chairperson to record that he's not participating with me. Maybe he's participating with Mr. Mutangani, because so I was raising these issues, chairperson, that really I'm not convinced about the manner in which our letter is responded to, and the legal advice we are getting from the same people who initiated the thing after they have been the charges have been passed to them. So I'm not convinced that they are the best people to give us a fair, impartial advice to this matter. Thank you.
Well, I have not heard any proposal out of that submission, except just giving a view that that's what he believes in, that they are not the people to give a fair whatever. And then is there any other member that, Honorable Mwango, I'll come back to you, Honorable.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. I just wanted to get clarity on the arising from what the advisors have just actually given us on the status of, I mean, on the presentation that was made by Honorable Mr. Malema. It is not clear to me that in the light of what he actually has said, what then is the status of this presentation? Because he's not actually giving us any clear advice as to then how do we deal with this? Because dealing with it we must at some point, but then how do we deal with this presentation? And personally, I do not agree that this presentation actually does not say anything about the issues at hand. I went through it. It does say certain things about, particularly if one looks at the evidence that has already been led. It actually reflects on some of the issues that actually came up sharply on the evidence that was given here. And the second point is about the principle about the committee being able to call witnesses. I wish we could actually dispose of that and say whether this committee is going to be calling witnesses. I want to be clear on that, because I for one, sitting as a member of this committee, definitely feel that we need to call further witnesses, because, I mean, there are a lot of things that need to be clarified on by some witnesses that we have in mind. Maybe the initiator can actually also come in on this particular issue, because we might be having witnesses that he also wants to call, because he has not said to us that the witness that has actually appeared before us was one and the only witness that he was going to call. Well, that's my submission, Mr. Chairman.
Yeah, I think last week Advocate Jenkins seated, I'm sure, just a seat behind where he is now. He said the following. The submission does not constitute evidence that may be submitted in terms of item 7 and 8 of the schedule, which deal with the hearing as is headed as such. In other words, the submission is not evidence given under oath that may be questioned by members of the committee, the chairperson, members charged, whether directly or through their legal representative or the initiator. It's one paragraph that I'm just reading. That was presented last week. But I will still allow Advocate Jenkins and Gail to respond to the questions. I'm just reminding you because this is on record in having dealt with last week. So that we just remind ourselves on the things that already have been dealt with and not find ourselves, you know, sometimes repeating things endlessly. Advocate Jenkins.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. I agree with the Honourable Member that there are issues raised in the submission, the representation that was given by Honourable Malema on behalf of the EFF to the committee on the first day, that speaks to the evidence that was led subsequently to that. One issue I can just think of is, was the House in session or not? Was the proceedings of the House suspended when the alleged action happened or not? And if my memory serves me well, that issue was brought up during the examination of the Secretary of the National Assembly sometime last week. So, Chair, on that point, my suggestion would be to allow the initiative to deal with that. The initiative will deal with the evidence that was led. Maybe summarise it. As I said, that is the task of the initiative. The committee, if it so wishes, can then speak to that evidence and look at that evidence and say, well, this constitutes valid or fair evidence to reach the conclusion of a charge or not, or alternatively to say, well, there was an issue raised in that letter in the submission from Honourable Malema which says something else. But what I'm trying to say is a lot of the issues in that letter can be dealt with during the normal proceedings of this committee. But as a document, as such, it is not evidence before this committee. But the points there, and if members are concerned about those points, I don't think anything stops them. Not in my knowledge of the law, stops them from raising it to say that here is a point that was put in that letter which we need to have some clarity on. A lot of the points in the letter, I mean in the submission, Honourable Chair. So one can deal with it like that. The other issues, again, I'm going to ask my colleague Gary Rohde to deal with them, especially the issue of calling further witnesses and whether that can be done or whether it should be done. Gary, I don't know much.
Thank you, Chairperson. I don't think I was clear or not. I don't know if I was clear or not. But let me just make it clear. The schedule to the rule says the committee, the initiator, and the affected members may call witnesses. Whether the committee decides to call more witnesses or not, and who to call, is for the committee to decide. I cannot say who the committee should call and how many witnesses they should call, who they should call, when they should call that person. That is for the committee to decide. That person, whoever the witness is not obliged to attend the inquiry or the hearing, whatever you may call it. Let me be clear about that as well. But it is for the committee members in their own right to say, I want to call the strawberry yogurt to come and attend the hearing. That's not for me to decide. I cannot advise the committee on who they should call. It's the committee members. The schedule is clear. The committee may call witnesses. The second issue then also around the, it's headed the representation to the Powers and Purposes Committee by Mr. Malema. And as my colleague said earlier on, it's good to go to the end of the letter and then proceed from there. Point 88 says, we make the following concrete recommendations. stop the entire process. The committee does not is not empowered in terms of the rules or the schedule to do that. Matters are referred to it by the speaker, the committee considers and then reports. Nowhere in the schedule or the rules is the committee empowered to do so. So we can dispose of that. Point 88B then says table a report clause concerning the decision to withdraw the charges. The committee is not empowered in terms of the rules or the schedule to withdraw charges, or the act for that matter. So let's proceed, so we can dispose of that matter. 88C, the committee must summon the speaker and caution her. The committee is not empowered in terms of the schedule, the act, or the rules to summon the speaker and caution her. So we can dispose of that. The final issue, point 89, says we are no longer participating in this process. What does that mean? The members affected are not in a position to call witnesses because they are not participating in the process. They are not in a position to cross-examine witnesses because they are no longer participating in the process. Is this representation then evidence? No, because they are no longer participating in the process. The way in which the committee then deals with this is to consider it in whichever, but it is for the purposes of this inquiry, it is not evidence. I hope this clears up any issues that the members might have, and I'm welcome to more questions.
Yes, Honorable Lothrit was the one that was to follow.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think the issue regarding the witnesses is quite clear, as we also understood that particular paragraph within the schedule quite clearly, and we also pointed that out, and that was the basis of the point why we mentioned it in the letter, and therefore it is quite clear that as committee we will have to discuss it, and it is not only a question now for the legal advisors here. Then, Chair, I would just like to make sure that I do understand quite correctly in terms of point one in the letter, in terms of the charges, that as was said now, that the initiator was responsible for drawing up the charges, and am I correct that he had assistance from the legal section of Parliament in drawing up these charges, and that these charges originally were forwarded the identification of the people, etc., by the speaker. I just want to have clarity on absolutely that. Yes, and then in terms of the submission of the Honourable Malema, I think we still have the issue, not so much about the substantive matters in it, but basically when and where we should discuss it before we have proceeded with the whole matter, as I refer it to statement I made in this regard on Wednesday morning, but leave it there for at the moment. I just want that confirmation in terms of the charges. Thank you.
Any further clarification, Advocate Jenkins?
Thank you, Honourable Chair. Yes, the charges, there must be a clear distinction between the role of the committee to make a recommendation to the House after hearing the evidence and the administrative process in front of or before that committee, which is led, in my view, by the initiator, and which is based upon the charges. The speaker didn't forward the charges to us. She referred the matter, the abuse of the rules, or the non-compliance of the rules, to the committee. And then the process, as it dictated, in terms of the rules, in terms of the act, started kicking in. So from that point, the charges were then drawn after looking at what the law says and looking what happened. I mean, you have to look what factually happened to see what evidence is out there to answer or to support the charges that you're going to bring. And that's how the process works. But the committee, you know, neither the committee nor the speaker is part of that, because in the end, the speaker just refers it in her capacity as custodian of the rules. The committee needs
judge to the house. The house will be the judge in the end. So, Chair, from that point, I think we've answered the member, but it's minuted, Chair. I'm just looking at the, I think it was the minutes of the committee dated 1 September 2014 that indicated that there was a template considered by the committee and that the charges must be finalized by the initiator. And that is what happened. Gary?
I have nothing more to say, Chair.
Yeah, honourable members, there is quite a lot of logistical arrangement and plannings and administrative actions that needs to be done on a daily basis for this specific hearing or committee to sit. And much of that administration is based on the rules that we have that governs what we're supposed to be doing. Let me hear Honorable Matlogu just before I proceed. Honorable Matlogu.
Chairperson. The point here is who is the complainant? And you know, in a hearing, there must be a complainant and a respondent. Now, if the speaker referred the non-compliance to the committee or to officials to initiate the charges, I'm still on course to say the internal legal advice will be biased, will not be impartial, will be biased. Then I'm proposing that we need an independent legal advice on these issues. You know, sometimes you can bite the hand that feeds you. The Constitution can say you must or you may carry yourself in this manner. But there is a human element to this, which was displayed even by other committee members. So I'm still standing that this proposal must be carried forward, and if need be, we must also further consult outside the legal advice of Parliament. We must further take that legal advice as political parties to this matter. Generally, because this matter was referred to administration, further referred to the committee, and the committee did not have any chance to engage on the charges, as Advocate Jenkins said. The initiator was given this by administration, then he initiated the charges. Then we only saw these charges during the first sitting of the committee, of the disciplinary hearing. So we didn't have any chance as a committee to reflect on what the initiator has prepared. So will it be fair to committee members and accept
because we were also at the same time with the people who were charged when we received the charges, as if we are on the same level with them. We are not a committee which is supposed to take decisions. So I don't know, Chairperson, whether I'm out of order because Mr. Mdangani keeps on talking when I'm on the floor. I don't think it is parliamentary or
order.
It's according to this rule.
Order.
Yeah. I was just raising this to say when I make my point, it doesn't raise whether he's against or agree with those points, but he continues talking. So, but I'm raising these issues to say we need an independent legal advice.
Yes, I'm sure you have asked Honorable Dagana to speak. Now he's going to do so.
I thought, Chair, that the main purpose of what we allow us to do was to allow the legal advisor to advise the panel. They have advisors now. The only thing that we can do to have even entertain what Honorable Mashuwa has raised is for the panel to go to our room and have a discussion on this matter. The question of whether we want to call for witnesses, we can't discuss it here. The real purpose here was for the legal team to advise us on procedural matter. They've explained every matter on the procedural issues. If there are other issues that we want to discuss at the panel, the best thing, Chair, is to adjourn and go to our meeting at the panel and have a discussion there. Then Honorable Mashuwa then maybe can persuade us there. I don't know what are the point that you want to raise. I think, Chair, let us do that.
As I opened this hearing, that was the intention. But honorable members, I think just before we do that, maybe you were to know why certain things happened. And so that when you go the other side, then you should be having that. I just want to indicate members that you should recall that the schedule to the rules provides that the committee can employ a member who is not a member of the committee, or a person who is duly qualified to act as an initiator. That's what the schedule is saying. The committee then appointed Mr. Van Fore, a person in a private legal practice who is not a member and obviously has necessary qualifications and expertise to do so. It's appointed by us. I was advised and I agreed, honorable members, to avoid wrong perceptions or procedural unfairness, to leave the drafting of the charge sheet to the expertise of the initiative. As someone who has no direct or indirect interest in the matter, the drafting of the charge sheet correctly, in my view, was left to the initiative. For the same reasons, I was advised and also agreed to avoid possible procedural unfairness and wrong perceptions, not to table the charge sheet before the committee for reflection, discussion, or approval, as the members dealing with the charge sheet will be the same members who will be presiding over the matter during the hearing. This would have constituted a serious procedural unfairness which up to now we have avoided. I think there should be clarity how we proceeded and what were the considerations. And I think we'll go back to that room as proposed, unless if there is a counter to it, and then and, ensure that we find each other. In terms of these specific matters. And I would recognize the hand of Honorable Mwango.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
then we then go out and discuss the issue of who those people would be, and so on. Because it is critically important, Mr. Chairperson, that that particular principle actually go into the record whilst we are in session.
Yeah, Honorable Ngango, you are making me to break some of the things that we agreed on. You see that we agreed to have the legal advice, and we have asked all possible procedural issues that they try to clarify and why certain things have happened. But then now you have got the situation where you now as a committee, as members, you're talking about the possibility of calling witnesses. Then now you want it to be done now. And when, as a committee, you need to be talking to yourselves, and so that you don't just simply say here that as a committee you are going to call witnesses. When you go there, the back room, you agree that no, there is no need of witnesses. And the whole public out there is expecting you to be calling witnesses. That does not actually misrepresent. When we come back here, and you have agreed that you are calling witnesses, and if you have also identified names, then we come and report as such and speak to the record as such. And then you must perform on your duties. I think that is what our just requesting us to do, so that we don't necessarily miss what we agreed upon, because we have the opinion that when we've got the legal advice, then we are going to actually proceed with the hearing. Now that this matter has arisen, and then you must actually try and attend to it. And that's why the proposal that was made, and then was a sensible proposal for yourself to actually talk to that particular matter. Honorable Fintain, and then Honorable Boy after that.
Thank you, sir. I'm comfortable to recall that our legal advisor has confirmed that we may call witnesses. Thank you.
Yes, definitely that is the provision in the statute. It's black and white in there. Honorable Boy.
Chair, at this moment, we quite clearly said that a committee is a committee of all representatives. It's not a committee of one individual. That's why we would want to go and support Honorable Mutakara to say, if all the issues that other members have raised and have been clarified, what the schedule says, it's only the committee that can come to those decisions. It's not individuals, it's not legal people. And that's why the support of saying, let's go and call, we are quite willing to meet. And we said, we respect every member of this committee. We're quite willing to work with everybody. And we humble ourselves again at this moment to be engaged in those issues that are being presented in front of us. And be engaged and be convinced by any member of this committee about its importance and how to assist you to come to the to provide solutions within the collective. We continuously want to appeal to all members to work with us, and we want to work with them in resolving all the matters that are confronting us. We are appealing to every member. Let's go to the committee to engage each other and get convinced about these issues.
Honourable members, can we take that is the consensus among members and in your debates, and then it is the superior debate that you need to present for your arguments to actually convince other members, and you must give yourself an opportunity to exchange this superior argument and reach a conclusion as a committee how we move forward. And I really respect your consensus on this matter. And then we suspend the hearing because it is a matter that may take us quite a little bit of time, so that members of the public as well as the media are not affected unduly. How much time can we give ourselves? An hour? And an hour will be taking you to lunch directly. We agree that we can give ourselves an hour and a half so that you can even complete the issues relating that when you come back here, you come a little bit more fitter and more healthy.